Well, greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord. It has been a tremendous joy to be here this morning with you all. Thank you, Brother Ed, for those thoughts on wisdom. It is, Well, what can we say? God is Christ is our example there on the cross. You know, and I, as Ed was sharing there, and my mind was going, I got two different visuals of how Christ's face could have looked. You know, there's one of calmness and peace, and there's another one that could have been of just holding back. And I think we know which one it was. It wasn't the one that he was just holding back with everything he had so he didn't say anything, but it was rather the one of just quietness and peacefulness on his face. And so may we strive for that kind of wisdom. So thank you. So this morning, we want to continue our study on the gifts that edify the body. And before we get started with that, let's rise and have a word of prayer. Oh God, we do bow here in your midst this morning, and we're thankful, Lord, to be able to gather here with your people. Lord, we're thankful this morning that we don't just have the words of Scripture that show us or that tell us of the wisdom that you have, but Lord, you give us a picture in our Lord Jesus Christ and how it looked. Lord, we thank you this morning for that. We do pray this morning that you would be with us here as we share the thoughts that you've given unto us, given unto me this morning on the gifts, Lord, that you've given unto us as men. Not that we can try to figure out what my gift is, but Lord, that we can see the work that you want to do in our hearts and our lives, and that we could that it would cause us to walk closer together in unity, and that the Church of Jesus Christ would be something that shows forth your wisdom, as we heard this morning, Lord. Something that brings glory to your name. So, Lord, we want your will to be done here this morning. We pray for my thoughts, that you would guide and lead and direct my thoughts, that you would minister to me. And, Lord, I just desire to be a vessel in your hand this morning. Would you have your way in our lives? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Yeah. So last time that I preached, we tried to lay a foundation for the message that I want to share here this morning. And it's to look at the gifts that God has given to the church to bring unity and harmony. many times what tends to happen is we think that someone is against me because they don't think exactly like I think. But it's actually God in His wisdom trying to bring forth His will on our lives. We don't all have all the wisdom that God has. And so with many voices, many people, many brothers, the will of God, the beauty of the church can be made known. And that is what our heart is here this morning. We started in Romans 12, and we looked how our lives need to be a living sacrifice. And it's interesting that the gifts, there's a lot of the gifts that are mentioned there in Romans 12, but he starts the chapter there with being a living sacrifice. And I think it flows right into church life, right into our gifts and how they function together. It's not proving my point. It's not like we heard this morning. That's not wisdom. But in sharing the thoughts that we have and allowing God to guide and lead us. And our minds need to be renewed again and again, that I am nothing and Christ is everything. And the next verse tells us why. It's so easy for us to think too highly of ourselves. I do it right. No one can quite do it like I do it. Feelings in my heart at a brother's meeting when I don't get nominated for a certain thing. Them are thoughts that we think too highly of, or evidences that we think too highly of ourselves. It's pride, and we need to repent from those things. And we also looked at how the gifts are not meant to be alone. You know, my gift is really not of much value if I decide that I'm going to be a hermit and go live and back in the woods somewhere by myself. That gift is not worth a whole lot to anyone at that point. We're unbalanced. I really need you. And we all need each other. One of the things that really stood out to me last time, and I don't know if it did to you or not, but what are our gifts for? What are our gifts for? And we'll look at them a little more today. Our gifts are to edify the body. The gifts are never meant for me to stand up and be something or to promote myself in any way, shape, or form. But the gift that God has given to men that talks about here in the scriptures is for the body. And if we look at it that way and we use it that way, it's a very beautiful thing. So it takes we need to be a living sacrifice. We are no longer our own. Like I prayed, we are not going to be looking at the gifts here to try to figure out, okay, so what is Brother Paul's gift? That is really not the intent. But more so, as we see the gifts and how God wants to bring this gift and blend it together and make something very beautiful out of it. It's meant to bring glory to God. You know, if everyone in Bern was just like Andy, it would be a scary place to be. It just would be. It would be very unbalanced. The other thing that we want to look at today is if my brother disagrees with me or has a different opinion, he's not my enemy. But rather, he's looking at it from a different, from the things that God has given him. And you know, the way I see it and the way that my brother sees it, it's probably not going to be just the way I see it. And it's probably not going to be just the way my brother sees it, but it's probably, if we bring it together, it's probably somewhere here in the middle is where God's will is. And that's the beauty of the gifts, if we all allow God to use us in that way. What God has meant for beauty and harmony, the accuser of the brethren wants to take and make havoc with. He just doesn't appreciate me. I never get what I want. And those thoughts can go on and on. You know, if we haven't figured out, beware, that attitude will take us where we don't want to go. So to start with, the first point we want to look at is all members have not the same office. And we'll start in Romans 12. And we'll just read the whole chapter and then we'll come back through and make different points. So Romans 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed unto this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And then he starts talking about the members of the body. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So in the beginning, we want to look at verses 4 to the beginning of 6, where it says, for we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, everyone members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us. So the word office there is function. Function, practice, or a work. What this is saying is we need something done here at the church. Let's say we need... There's something that we need done here at the church. And we all have opportunity to do whatever that needs to be done. We all have an opportunity. If we would all have the same opportunity, the same project, it would look quite different depending on who would do it. It just would. There's many different members that function in different ways. And it's beautiful if we all find our place in doing so. So what about at a brothers' meeting? And we want to nominate someone for a particular thing that needs to be done. You know, we have these little slips of paper and we write a name down and go around and pick them up But before we start a brothers' meeting, we always have prayer. And we pray and we ask God to give us wisdom on how this should, for the evening, right? To speak through the brothers on whatever it is. That we do that. So now we need something done. And sometimes there's a name that instantly comes to our mind. This brother would fit this particular thing we're looking to do. And other times it's like, you know, there's 6 or 10 people here that could do the job well. And so how do we find God's will in it? So many times we take up the names and then it can be a little scattered, and then we bring back maybe 2 to 4 names and we do it again. So if my name is not brought back the second time, does that mean I didn't hear from God? I don't take it that way. I don't take it that way. And we don't have to take it personal. It's the beauty of the body working together. So we do it again and we nominate someone. So that's one way we do it. We try to figure out what God is, who God is trying to call, or who He is calling to do certain things. And you know, it doesn't mean that Brother Joe gets nominated, that he is of any more importance than the rest. That's not what it means. That's not what it means. But rather, we're looking for to fill a certain need in the body that needs to be done, and we're looking for that member that fits that calling. And it's very beautiful if we all allow God to work in that way. I don't see everything. I don't know everything. If I would like to be elected and am not, and it's okay, you know, that the Bible says that he who desires the office of a bishop desires a good thing. And so it's not like it's wrong to desire something. But what happens if I'm not elected and I have that desire? Is my heart at peace? Can I find my place in that? That, you know, God has called, this is what it is, I'm going to accept it. I know I don't see everything. If I fight feelings and have a high view of myself, we know in the human body what kind of a blessing it is when all our members work together. You know, we know what it's like for, we've seen human bodies that don't function that way. And that to have a body that functions properly, the blessing that it is, the beauty that it can be, is tremendous. And it's the same way in the church. Thank you. It's the same way in the church. If the hand is not fighting to be the foot, and the foot is not fighting to be the hand, it works very beautifully. It works very beautifully. And in order for it to be harmony and unity, we all need to die to our own will, to our own self. What would Burn Christian Fellowship look like if this were to be lived out as Christ wants it to be lived out here at Burn? The other question that I have for myself is what needs to change in me that could be possible? The church needs to be a place of peace and rest. That is, God has designed his body for a place of peace and rest. And that's what he wants. And that's what we want. So we know we need to open up our hearts to one another, to ask God, is there anything in my life? God has a very beautiful purpose and a plan for each and every one of us. No one is more important here than the other. All of us are of same importance, but different callings. Let's all be content in doing what is in front of us to do. You know, and the other picture that I got is, so what if God would have created only one kind of tree? What if God would have created only one kind of animal? Or one kind of fish? The world would be really bland, would it not? And that's how it is in the church. God is a God of much diversity. And he takes all these things that might not look alike at all, might have many different, there's many different things that can be happening, and he takes them and they make something very beautiful out of it. I mean, what fun would it be to go to a zoo if all that you would see there would be donkeys? I mean, it would be no fun, would it? But we go to the zoo because we enjoy seeing the God's vast creation and different varieties and all the things that he's made. It's not just for the beauty's sake that he's given us different gifts, but also there's tremendous amount of work that needs to happen in this world, and for that case, he's given us different gifts so that the different things get done that he wants done. You know, you have burdens on your heart that I don't have. I have burdens on my heart that you don't have. And there's reasons for that. There's reasons for that. God has done this for the beauty of his church, for the beauty of his work, and that his work on earth gets done. So suppose that all we had here was a bunch of evangelists in Bern, Indiana. That would be all we would have as evangelists. What do you think the place would look like? It wouldn't work, would it? We need someone here to disciple the ones that come in. Somebody needs to be here to disciple those that the evangelist calls in. And the evangelist and those that disciple are not in competition with one another. They're working together for something very beautiful. Talking about different gifts and the way they function. They're on the same team. They're concerned about the souls of men. Verse 5, it tells us that they are members, and everyone members one of another. And so that means that I am not my own. You are not your own. We are members one of another. We are members one of another. Working together. And I don't think that these members should be suspicious of one another. It sounds to me like they should care for one another. So I have this, in my mind, I had this thought, okay, so what if I would step on a nail? I step on a nail and my foot hurts. Now we're talking about a physical body first, but we'll take it into the spiritual. I step on a nail, but my brain tells me, don't let your hand know that you stepped on a nail. Don't do it. That sounds ridiculous, don't it? Sounds terrible. And I don't think we're here as a church. But the gift that God, the thing that I need is right here in front of us. I what I need, because I stepped in a nail, now I'm talking about all here together, because I stepped on a nail, what I need is right here. You're all here to help me, right? I stepped on a nail, I have pain, I have a need, and I have you all that want to help me. That's just how it works. But what if I tried to hide it? What if I try to hide it? Do you think that I will... Now let's think that... Let's say that nail is sin. That nail that I stepped in is sin. I fell into sin. And what I need to help me overcome, to help me get beyond it, I have right here. Right? God has given that to us. But many times we want to say that I can't let my arm, I can't let my fingers, I can't let my whoever know that I just stepped in a nail? I just fell into sin. And therefore, we are in pain. We are, there's all kinds of things that start going on in our mind. We get suspicious of one another. We get, there's just a lot of things that happen. But if I'm open and I say, I stepped in a nail, I fell into sin, Brother Moses, can you help me? What do you think would happen? I would find healing. I would find healing. That's the way it works in the physical, and that's the way it's going to work in the spiritual. Now, depending on what it is, depends on who I call upon, right? Some, depending on what I'm struggling with, might depend on who I call upon. It doesn't mean that anyone here is of any less value than the other one. It's just the way that God has designed the body to work together. So according to verse 6, this gift that God has given us, it says it's a gift, having gifts differing according to the grace given unto us. This gift is an endowment given by God. It's a religious qualification that comes out of the Strong's. According to God's grace. You know, it's not our choice what that gift is. And you know, sometimes it's probably not even our first choice of a gift. Somehow my brother's gift looks a little better than mine a lot of times. But it's something that God has given us. And I am asked to be faithful with it. And again, we might know what that gift is, and we might not know what that gift is. And it's okay. Gifts of grace, gifts of help, gifts that edify the body, so the kingdom of God can be advanced. That is what it is for, for the kingdom of God to be advanced. I'm going to read in 1 Corinthians 12 and read from 4 to 7 before we go on to the next point. And it's just, again, a little different wording, but this very same idea. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and that has a capital S. It's the Holy Spirit that gives these gifts. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit. So this is God's doing. He gives many different kinds of gifts to the body for the edifying of the body, all the things get done that he wants to get done. So the second point we want to look at, we'll turn back over to Romans 12, and it is the different functions of the gifts. And I don't know, I'm not the one that should be sharing on these. I don't have all the answers to this. So we'll read from 6 to 8, and it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And as we just read through that, there's a wide variety of things, a wide variety of gifts, and they're all to edify the body. They all function differently. And yet if you bring them together, there is something very beautiful that can happen. Prophet. What is a prophet? The Strong says it's someone who has an inspired message, sometimes encouraging obedience to God, sometimes proclaiming the future as a warning to preparedness and continue obedience. That's what it says that a prophet is. It's someone who is calling someone to obedience. And I had to think, what happened to the prophets in the Old Testament? Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 31, and also in Luke, verse chapter 11, verse 47, that the prophets were killed. That Israel would have killed the prophets. Prophet has never been, in the Old Testament, he was not a man that was well liked. And the reason is he speaks out against sin. And those that love their sin don't like the prophet. Today, it is a lot the same. They preach against judgment of sin. People hated the prophet because of sin. They love their sin. And the same is for today. You know, if we, Israel went, what happened to Israel when they didn't heed to the prophet? I mean, it was terrible things that happened. And it will be the same for us today if we do not heed to God's prophet today. And they are here in our midst. God has given them. And I can't tell you exactly who they all are, okay? That's not the point. But if we shut up the prophet, we're in for trouble. We just are. So let's take heed. When someone speaks out at sin, please, let's take heed. We need the prophet, whether we appreciate him or not. Minister. It says in verse, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Minister. In Acts 6, it gives us a little bit of a insight there. We'll read the first four verses. This was the need that the church had in Acts 6, and this wasn't the only need, but this was one of the needs they have, and this is what a minister is to be doing, is to some of the physical needs of the church. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the twelve called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Because of this, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom ye may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So the minister here, these were meant to be to take care of some of the physical needs of the day-to-day things that took place. And the leaders at that point asked them to ordain. It doesn't really say ordain, but that's what happened. Minister in the Strong's, it says this can refer to helps and services of various kinds, which can range from spiritual biblical teaching to practical giving of provisions, supplies, support, and finances to those in need. And I want to say this. I know that they get called deacons a lot, but not all the deacons here, necessarily all the ministers, are ordained. I don't believe that. Now, there might be some specific things that God... That we ordain deacons for, but there's many, many things that we all can do to help. And not all deacons, all ministers here are necessarily ordained. And again, those who are and those who are not on different levels of different importance. They are all of same importance to God. But God gives gifts differently to people, and we don't necessarily all understand that. And I see my great need in this. Not all ministers will be ordained. You know, and if the thing is, if we're looking at a deacon ordination here in the future, and it is not that we're looking to call someone that has not been doing the work already. But rather, we're looking to call someone who has already been doing this kind of work to some extent. It is not that we're calling, it's not like we're creating a gift here. God has already given the gift, but it's recognizing that gift. And that is, we need to be aware of that. This kind of service needs to come out of a love for God and His people. You know, and as we are faithful to God, you know, the gift that you have and that I have, by the grace of God, we have increased in that gift since the day that we got born again, right? It should increase as we increase in God. That gift should also increases, whether we know what it is or not. That it's not just something that is a... Yeah, it increases. Teacher. A teacher is to instruct, to provide information in a manner to produce understanding. And it's not just for knowledge's sake, and not just so that we now know more. But it is, a teacher's job is also to provide the information needed to learn how to walk a certain way, to do a certain thing. It's not just so... So last night we was at a couples night, and they had couples of the Bible. And the teacher is not just to make sure that we get all the couples of the Bible right. There's many of them we couldn't get. It's interesting. You read through the scripture and you read them, but then when you get asked who is a certain man's wife or who a certain lady's husband is, it's all of a sudden it's like, I'm sorry, I can't get them all. That's not the teacher's job necessarily, but it is to walk in obedience to God's word in a more fuller way. He can also take different parts of the scripture and bring a fuller knowledge of a particular doctrine, and it's a very beautiful thing. Exhorteth is to call near, to invite. It is someone that encourages others to take right steps to complete peace in every area of life. It is not just someone who is necessarily pointing out sin, but he's exhorting us in to walk in a way that brings complete peace to our lives. Someone who is encouraging us to do that. And what a beautiful thing. Ruleth, sorry, I missed one, giving. It's to impart, and these are come out of the Strong's. Impart, contribute, needs someone who seems to always have the right thing to give. And that's a beautiful thing. You know, not all the needs that we have are met financially. There's other needs that come up, and it seems the giver has the ability to somehow fulfill that need by giving what he has. Beautiful thing. Ruleth. It means to stand before. Someone who can take a group of people and lead out in a project. And he's not necessarily the boss. But he just has the ability to take people and encourage them to do different things. And it just flows beautifully together. He's not the one up there that says this is how it's going to be, but rather has a way of leading them. Mercy, the compassionate one, the one who seems to have the words of healing, knows just what to say to bring comfort. Now we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, and there it gives us... Some more different gifts there. The first one is apostles. Representative, a messenger, often, this comes out of the Strong's, often used in a technical sense for the divinely appointed founders of the church. I see, and this now is my words, I see this more of a fatherly figure in the church, someone who is more of a father to us, more of a fatherly figure. Miracles. Some of these we had looked at, so I'm not going to go back over them, so I'm not going to necessarily go back over prophets, but miracles. Gifts of miracles. That's interesting, isn't it? What is a miracle? Miracles is power. It's more often used as power. If we take the word back to the Greek, it's used as power many, many times. Far more than any other word, any other way. Power, ruler, ability. So as I looked up power in the Greek, which is most popular use of the word, anytime that it's talking about Satan's power or human power, it's a different word. The word miracles, the word power here is something that we can only receive from God. It is humanly impossible by man. So it's in that sense, it's a miracle. It's not something that Satan can create or we can do on our own, but it is something that God gives to us, gives to man. And there's, I trust and believe that that gift is out here amongst us somewhere. He's done it. Now, I'm not, I don't know who that is necessarily, and I'm not going to try to find it out, but God has given it, and it's a very beautiful thing. It will never, it would always be used, the only way that this gifts of miracle will be used is for God's glory. Never to exalt self. If we think that that I might have that gift and I'm pushing myself up or I'm trying to get up somewhere, that's not what it's talking about. The only way it can be used is for God's glory and for the beautiful things that he wants to do in the church. Healings. Cure. And a lot of these I'm not going to say much about. I don't have many words to say. And one thing for sure is it will bring glory to God. This is not a look at me gift. Healings. Cure. Helps means relief. Government is directorship in the church. It comes out of the Strong's. Tongues simply means language. And it has nothing to do with the Babel stuff that we hear about. Absolutely nothing. It is a different language. Ephesians 4, we find a few more that are not listed here. And what chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." So the word evangelist is a preacher of the gospel. And many times he's the one that we call on to, if you want to have salvation messages or whatever, that is what is called an evangelist. Pastor, a shepherd, someone who looks out for the well-being of the flock. Now, a church that is not in competition with each other, and we're all here to encourage one another, to edify one another, to be a blessing to one another, to not lift oneself up, it's a very, very, very beautiful thing that God has given us. It's for the glory of God, and it will be a peaceful place if this is what is happening. Question I have is, would there be anyone afraid to throw his whole heart, life, and being in a place where we're all just doing what God has created us to do? No competition. I don't think there's anyone here that would be hesitant in throwing himself completely into that. Now, if we're not experiencing this, is God holding out on us? Of course not. And this was not, these words were not just wrote 2,000 years ago for the early church. their road for us in Bern, Indiana, or wherever else we are. That's where it's for us today. You know, and if we're not experiencing these things, if this is not our experience, probably the first problem, if I'm not experiencing peace and rest, and I'm not experiencing blessings from you all, right here's probably the problem. Right here. I don't think that we dare to stretch our finger at anyone else, but rather it's right here at me. Third point we want to look at, and we'll turn to 1 Corinthians 12 again, and that is that there be no schism in the body. That there be no schism in the body. And we'll read from verses 20 to 26. But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together. God has done it, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. And God has put the body together that there be no schisms. And that does not mean that there's no needy people in the body, but very needy people, that I need you. But what I need, God has given us here. I don't need to go look anywhere else. What I need, if I'm willing to humble my heart and my life, I will find what I need right here. Doesn't mean there's no needs. But the needs that we have, God has given us gifts in the body so that all those needs can be met. Schism. What is a schism? It's a split or gap, a division or rent. You know, it's never God's fault if there's a schism. It is never God's fault if there's a schism. It's never God's fault if there is divisions amongst us. Never. It is us. It is us. God has given us all beautiful gifts, and they are absolutely perfect gifts in imperfect bodies and imperfect beings, that we're the ones that mess them up. Have you or I ever asked God if I'm causing a division in the church? You know, we're quick to be able to say that if it wasn't for whoever, if it wasn't for whoever it is, it would just go better. But I'm afraid that unless we get down on our knees, and humble ourselves before God, and really take a serious look at ourselves, that there's more problem here than anywhere else. I'm talking about that from my own life. And there's a reason that I say that. Because I know what kind of a person I am. I have tremendous needs and I need you. If we get down on our knees and ask God. And if God lays his finger on something, we shouldn't get up until we have thoroughly repented from that sin. We should often ask God, is there anything in my life that is causing disunity with my brother? Is there anything that is causing any ill feelings or anything that is there anything in here in my life that is not well pleasing with you? And I think if we take inventory of that kind in our own lives, we will be very hesitant to point our finger to anyone. I really believe that. You know, if I do point my finger at someone, it probably means I've taken an offense. Very good possibility I've taken an offense of some sort. And offenses turn into bitterness and unforgiveness. And these cause schisms. And there could be some of you that disagree with me, and that's fine. But I would encourage you to try it, to break your heart before the Lord. If you don't think that me and all of us, me, could have any part of any division or of any sort, until you try it for a couple months to break your heart before God, try it once and see what God will do. Like I said, the reason I know it is I know myself. And I'm not necessarily saying I have attained, because I have not. And if we get it done once, it doesn't mean that it's done for the rest of our life. We keep coming back. I want to turn to 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, and we're going to read the first 14 verses. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sothenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, if we would stop there, we would think that, wow, this is a beautiful church, a church that is functioning together very well. But we go on and it says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye speak the same thing, that there be no divisions, and that division is the same word as schism in the Greek, among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Cleo, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I have baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius. And so we see here that there were divisions, that there were some schisms in the church church at Corinth, and he's exhorting them to fix this problem. Paul's calling them to be of the same mind. How does that work? How does it work to be of the same mind? And in Romans, it tells us the renewing of our mind. And them two go hand in hand. It is to train our thoughts, to retrain our mind on thinking. My brother is not my enemy. He has what I need. Can I train my thoughts? Do I them thoughts that we constantly can think of? If it's not, we need to train our thoughts to think those kind of thoughts. If not, we will always have issues. We will always have issues. God has not made a mistake when he puts a church together. He does it very beautifully. But it's us humans that need to be of the same mind. And that's work. It doesn't just happen. It's not my brother's job to be of the same mind as me. Right? But it's my job to have the same mind as you do. You know, if you all are just supposed to have the same mind as me, that will never work. But I am to have the same mind as you do. And if we all have that kind of attitude, it will be beautiful. It will be beautiful. What will God's judgment be if I tear something that he is trying to put together? Will God take that lightly? Our heart and compassion should be to make the bride of Jesus Christ very beautiful. And not have this poker thing that we poke at each other. Jesus Christ is coming back for a bride. And it's going to be a beautiful bride. And we should all, it should be our passion to make this bride in Bern, Indiana, as beautiful as it could be. If we would have that kind of compassion upon one another, what would this look like? It would just be tremendous. It would be beautiful. Where can I contribute that I have been lacking in? Am I a builder or am I a schismer? And that's probably not a word, but we'll use the word schism. Brothers, it will cost us everything to have a place of peace and rest here. And you know, if there's schisms in us as daddies here, or mommies, what future do our children have? I'm sorry, there's no future. There's just no future. These things have to be worked out. These things have to flow together. God wants to build a beautiful, beautiful church. And he's doing it, okay? I'm not discouraged this morning, but let's all do our part in making the bride of Jesus Christ very beautiful. Can we do that? The body of Jesus Christ is very beautiful and very precious to Christ. He gave his life for it. How do I view the body of Christ? Is it worth giving my life for it? And we're running out of time, but we're going to read. The last point I have is make the bride of Christ beautiful. And we're simply going to go to Romans 12. And I'm not going to make a lot of words. Starting in verse 9 and read through here. And here, I believe God gives us everything that we will need to make the bride of Jesus Christ beautiful. It says, let love be without dissimulation. What is that? What is love without dissimulation? What does dissimulation means sin? Without dissimulation, but it means a sincere, genuine, without hypocrisy, love. It's a love that will love when no one loves me back. It's a love that will love when I don't feel like loving. It's a love that will love, it doesn't matter what my circumstance is. This is part of how we will make the church of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, very beautiful. If we have that kind of love, a love that will love if we don't get love back, and hate the things that God hates, abhor that which is evil. Sin means missing the mark. Love the sinner, but don't get involved with his sin. Cleave to that which is good. These are all beautiful ingredients that God has given us to make the bride of Christ very beautiful. Cleave to that which is good. Be glued to the good things. Verse 10, it says, be kindly, affectionate one to another with brotherly love. Cherish one another. Put value on your brother. These are God's children. These are God's children. Put value on God's children. If we put value on God's children, it will be beautiful. These are God's children. Treat them as such. A love that is hot. Honor preferring one another. Honor is value and esteem. When we do this, if we are kindly affectionate one to another, can I take an offense? It's impossible. So if I'm taking an offense, it's right here, it gives me an ingredient that I'm missing. And we need to get back to this. We need to get back to this. Can I have negative thoughts towards someone when I am kindly affectionate one to another? And honoring, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. And listen, this is not business that we do day to day. He's talking about the gifts. He's talking about church life. This is the business that we're talking about. What would our church life would look like if we would put the same kind of energy in church life as we do in our business? Be tremendous, would it not? Be not slothful in business. Christ took captivity captive and gave gifts to men, so let's not be lazy with those gifts that he's given us. I think that's the business that he's talking about. You know, if we look at the parable of the talents, he can take that gift from us if I'm lazy with it and give it to someone else. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Fervent means hot. Being very passionate about your service to God, our service to God, my service to God. Rejoice in hope. Rejoice in hope. Rejoice with those that do rejoice and weep with those that weep. Rejoice in hope. Patient in tribulation. You know, tribulations are going to come. Them are guaranteed. Be patient in them. Work through them. Have your brothers help you through those. Continuing instant in prayer. And I had a few thoughts wrote down here. Be constantly diligent, and that is what it means in the Greek, constantly diligent and earnest in prayer. Constantly diligent and earnest in prayer. That is what it would interpret to be. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Help your brothers. I mean, that's as simple as that. Help your brothers. Be quick to open your home, given to hospitality. These things are not that difficult. And then he says, bless them which persecute you and curse not. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. Rejoice with the rejoicing and cry with the hurting. Be of the same mind one toward another. Work on our minds till it matches the mind of my brothers. Don't chase lofty things. But help the poor and lowly. Always be honest. So there's no question. Don't return evil for evil. Be a peacemaker, even if it will cost you dearly. Don't ever try to get even. That is God's duty, not ours. And I'm just paraphrasing as I go through there. Verse 20 and 21 yet, and it says, therefore, because of all of these things, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his hand. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now is he all of a sudden changing gears here and talking about someone else? I think he's talking about us right in here. Those that annoy you, those that are hard for you to love, what should you do? Have them over for supper. Work these things out. It doesn't give us much option. It's the way it's supposed to be. Now, if we would just take these few verses that we read here at the end, could I ever point my finger towards my brother and say he's the problem? I don't think so. I don't think so. We have our answers right here. If we want to have a beautiful church as God created it. He's made everything very beautiful, right? And it's man and sin that has destroyed the beauty that God has created. And may we not destroy the beauty that God wants to have here in Bern, Indiana. But may we polish one another. May we make the bride of Jesus Christ very beautiful. May that be our passion, our goal. If we do that, we'll never be sorry. There's just tremendous blessings that will come. The one thing that I had to think of is, what chance, if we take this recipe that we had, what chance of failure is there? Zero. This is 100% guaranteed that it'll work. 100% guaranteed that it'll work. What better recipe do we want? I mean, it's right here. But it's a dying to self that's hard. It's giving up of self, preferring, honoring my brother, to love him, to change my mind and to think like my brother. All these things are difficult. They don't just happen. So may God help us to do that, to make the bride of Jesus Christ in Bern, Indiana, beautiful. God bless you.